Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it, thankful, grateful, and y'all know always blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the mighty and awesome Word of God. And all I can say this morning is it's a great word. This is Old Testament Friday, and we will be in the book of Exodus, starting in Exodus chapter 2. And we all know that Moses is on the mountain getting the great word from God. You know, he's having time with God. But in the meantime, you know, down at the base of that mountain, the children of Israel have lost their proverbial minds. You know, Moses is not coming back. We don't know where he is. You can hear the whining and the complaining. And now understand, when Moses and Joshua went up to be with God, her were left in charge. Now understand, God left two in charge. And Aaron fell back into what he used to do. You know how we used to do stuff? You know, we get good and we start doing better, and then we allow the enemy with his little low-down sneaky snake self to ease back in. You know, my pastor said something last night that is so very profound, and I know that I have done it. And, you know, we wonder why things are going wrong. You know, when we say we're trusting God, but we use a word thing off. And that word is if this, if that, and we wonder why something happens and all of a sudden havoc starts to break loose. If this, and that if word derails God's plans for our life, because the sneaky snake slides in and takes control, because we say it if, because that meant we were not trusting God to provide. We were not trusting in God. We were saying if God. When God says, he's not an if kind of God. He's a yes, no, or not right now. But he is not an if kind of God. His yes is yes and his no is no. And when we understand that, we don't have to deal with the if, because the if will knock you off your square. And the children of Israel had some ifs in their spirit. If Moses don't come back, what is we going to do? And then they pulled that card of he's not one of us kind of thing. You know, we're going to go back a little bit, because, you know, God gave you everything you need, how to get stuff together, how to make everything work. He even pulled out artisans. Everything that was going to be needed, God gave Moses a blueprint. And then we get to today. And the word that God gave me was that he's a jealous God. That he is a jealous God. You shall worship no other God, for the Lord is a jealous God. His name is jealous. He told us who he is. And he told us, don't play. Don't play with God. Don't play with his word, period. When it comes to the word of God, it is true. And God is righteous. But don't take God for granted. Don't act like, you shall worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. And we don't want to visit iniquities on generations to come, because of our stiff neck. You know, so let us pray. We're going to lift up the name of Jesus this morning. Father God in heaven, we are coming to you with humble hearts, God, asking you to increase as we decrease, God. Asking you, Lord, to open our hearts, our minds, and our spirits to your word, God. Let your word permeate every fiber of our being, every cell and molecule. God, let your word sink in. Lord God, we ask you to guide us and lead us as we move forward in our life. Lord God, you are the great provider. You are who we love. And Lord, I lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from you, and I trust in you. No ifs in my spirit, because I know that you hear me, God. You've answered too many prayers, even little prayers, God. You answered even on today. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for answered prayers. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your kindness. Thank you, Lord, for being who you are, awesome and mighty. And Father God, as I lift up this word this morning, I lift up Syria and Turkey and all the more than 20,000 people who have been found dead. But we know that the dead shall take care of the dead. The dead is dead. For we know, Lord, you are calling your children home. We know, Lord God, you are doing the things that are happening because you've already told us that they would. And not to be worried, not to be afraid, just to pray. So, Father, I'm praying for the survivors. I'm praying that each and every one that is right now holding on under the rebel God, that they be removed and that they be saved. I'm praying right now for the children, God, that no exploitation happens to them, God. I'm praying for the seniors that they are not forgotten, God. I'm praying for our world, God, for we have not been good stewards. And we ask you, Lord, to please forgive us. Forgive us for our stewardship, God. Help us to be better, to do what you have called us to do, to take care of what you've given us, God. So, Father God, I ask forgiveness for our planet. I ask forgiveness for each and every one of us, God. And, Lord God, I'm praying right now that you watch over this nation built on blood, sweat, and tears, that you will not let us go backwards, God, but move forward. For the enemy is trying his best to take us back to a time of hatred and bigotry, separation, vilification, murders, and things not like you, God. We bind that spirit of racism and prejudice and bigotry. We bind those spirits in the name of Jesus. They will not permeate this nation. Our children of God, and we believe in your power, God, to shine light on darkness, that it will flee. In the name of Jesus, Father, I lift up this mighty word this day, asking you, Lord God, to let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength, and you are my redeemer. And it's in Jesus' name I pray, believing and trusting in you, Lord, that all things are working for good because we believe and trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Who giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength, and to his Son, who sacrificed his life for me and for you, to the Most High and wise. Lord God Almighty, we thank you for this day that you've given us another opportunity to be better than we were yesterday. Thank you, Lord. So let's get into our word this morning, and we have a lot of words, and we will be in Exodus. If time permit, we will do a couple of Psalms, and if not, it'll be Psalms and Proverbs and Matthew on Sunday. And all I can say is, wow. Whew. It's a word, y'all. It's a word. you know, disobedience. Folks can be some disobedient folks, and we're going to deal with that today. So let's see what the word of God says. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "See, I have called by name Thiaziel, the son of Uri, and the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels for settings, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. And I indeed, I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan. And I put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they may make all that I have commanded you, the tabernacle of meeting, the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, the table and its utensils, the pure gold lampstand with all its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offerings with all its utensils, and the laver and its base, the garments of ministry, the holy garments for Aaron, the priest, and the garment of his sons, to the minister as priest, and the anointing oil and sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded you, they shall do." Ooh, what a word. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. But whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day, not the first, but the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. And when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses 2 tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. That's a highlightable. You know, you hear people say, "And Moses wrote the Ten Commandments." No, Moses did not write the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were spoken by God and written by God. And that is something you can get from your word. Not what Minister said, but what the word of God said. Again, and he had made an end of speaking with them on Mount Sinai. He gave Moses 2 tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the what? Finger of God. Again, God's word is true. All we have to do is read it. And just a couple of, from Exodus chapter 21, a life lesson. And again, for those that are wondering where the life lessons are coming from, they come from Dr. Charles Stanley. And I can do nothing more than say thank you, Dr. Stanley, for this magnificent daily Bible. And it is the Life Principle Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And I say this, again, not paid by any ministry. You know, this Bible is a great Bible to have in your biblical arsenal. It is a good daily Bible, and it is worth it to purchase it. It will help you to read the Bible in 1 year. And it is put in a way that is understandable. Dr. Stanley breaks down with life examples, life lessons, which we share every day, and I give 100% credit to God for giving this word to Dr. Stanley and for Dr. Stanley listening to the voice of God and giving us what we need to live a good life and to hear and know the word of God. So if you are looking for a Bible and you want to read the Bible or listen to us or go with us and work with us in this word, please buy this Bible. I am coming out of New King James, but they do have it in King James as well as NIV. And I think there's an NLT. So get this Bible, y'all. And my country, you know, Southern roots came out with the y'all, but it's meaning you all. So get this Bible. It is worth everything that you can do because we will be in it this year. We were in it last year and a part of the year before, but God told me to go to it again this year because it is so easy to understand and it helps us to grow. And the more you know, the more you grow. It's for real. So let's get back into the word, and it says, and he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. Since God does not want his people to wonder what he has said, he has committed his word to written form. We can depend upon that word no matter what happens around us. We can depend on the word of God. And he gave us a life example for chapter 31 as well, how God speaks to us. And when we go back to verse 18, and it says, and when he had made, again, and end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God. And it says, through the ages, God has used a variety of ways to speak to his people. He spoke directly with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, meeting them in the cool of the day. Genesis 3 and 8. After God expelled the disobedient pair from the garden, he turned to other forms of communication. These forms that included direct revelation, dreams and visions, the words of prophets and others. Today, God's primary, though not only, form of communication with his people is the written word, the Bible. We read in Exodus 31 and 18, when he had made an end of speaking with him, Moses, on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. I have said that a lot of times because we want that to permeate our spirits when we hear folks preaching the word and say, and Moses, oh, Moses, yes, he wrote that book. He wrote this. He did that. He wrote commandments that was given. No, he didn't. The finger of God wrote them commandments that were given. And so we have to listen when folks get to preaching. Listen to what they're saying. Don't just be saying, yeah, amen, Pastor, you know you're preaching. Listen. Listen to what's being said. Write you some notes. And when you know that something is not right because you read it yourself, that's the whole point. Read it yourself. Study it yourself. Study to show yourself approved. And as we go back into what Dr. Stanley has to tell us, he said, God has always placed great value on the written word. In fact, the Hebrew people were among the first on earth to have an alphabet that allowed them to record documents. The reading of the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, has remained a mainstay in synagogues through the centuries. The early church received God's counsel through both spoken and written means. The gospel accounts document the life and words of Jesus, which while much of the rest of the New Testament consists of letters from the apostles to various groups of believers. Behind the written word of God always stands the inspiration of God. We read in 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. I say that again. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The psalmist acknowledged the importance of knowing and obeying the word of God when he wrote, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." 119th Psalm, verse 105. And I tell you, the 119th Psalm will take you there. It will bring you up. It will bring you down. It will make you cry. It will make you shout. When you get a chance, just read the whole thing. Read the whole 119th Psalm. It'll take you there. And it says, centuries later, the Apostle Paul referred to the written word as a weapon to be used in spiritual battle. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Come on now. Ephesians 6:17. God's word really is an immovable anchor in times of storm. And we know that the word of God is important. Jesus used the word of God against the devil when he tried to tempt him. You know, take these stones and make them bread. Jesus said, not today, Satan. He told him, get behind me. Because he wasn't playing today. He said, I'd have been on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights, and I ain't got time for your foolishness. Don't have time for it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. So we better understand God's word is food for the soul. So let's keep it moving. And it says this, now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods. Come on now. Go before us, for as for this Moses. This Moses. Okay. This Moses set your lover hides free from slavery. But this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Okay, and Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings. Now, okay, I want y'all to catch this. Aaron is going to flip the script later, but right here, he's the one that said, break off your golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them to Aaron, and he received the gold from the hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Could have said, because we remember, and her were the ones left in charge. All he had to say was, he's coming back. He'll be back. We need to be calm. Let's go worship. Let's go praise God that brought us out of bondage. But instead, he's like, bring me the earrings. Let's do this thing. You know, come on now, no leadership. That's why when pastors leave their churches, they got to be careful who they leave in leadership. Because if they leave somebody who's just going to do what the crowd say, you know, and they come back, their church is in disarray. But I'm grateful that our pastor is teaching us how to be good leaders, how to be able to conduct service even if she's not there. That's what good leaders do. They teach their leadership, what to do. Because you never know. We lost our co-pastor, Pastor Paul, a year ago. And I tell you, it was devastating. But then we found out so much that he did. That's why you have to make sure he was our administrative pastor. You know, there's only one leader in the church. And I said co-pastor, so I take that back. He was our administrative pastor. He was over the administration of the church, which left his wife free to do what she was called to do, to pastor and lead the congregation. And I don't want to hear any of the theologians going in today, Paul, worried about, you know, women shouldn't this and that. I don't want to hear that. So I'm just being honest. We're going to keep it moving today. And it goes on to tell us because, like I said, Aaron could have stopped the mess right at the beginning. But Aaron was right in the midst of it. Talk about, just bring me your stuff. Bring me your gold. And then he's going to mold. He's the one that doing the engraving tool that made the molded calf. And then he said, this is your God. He said, I want y'all to catch that. Aaron said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, go get down for your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. Again, God spoke to these people. His voice, not Moses' voice, but his voice. And they got scared. But everything God told them not to do, they are here. They have a party over here. And he goes on to say, and they have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed it and said, this is your God, O Israel, and brought you out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. Moses was like, wait a minute, Lord. Moses was a constant intercessor. This man interceded for these folks more than they could ever imagine. But what they call him? This Moses. He this Moses. You know, I understand that. I used to be called a little thing about, you know, a couple of employees that I used to be their supervisor. A little thing. But, you know, we ain't going down that road. So then Moses pleaded with the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out of harm, out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your first wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants to whom you swore your own self, and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and all the land that I have spoken of, I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mountain, and the two tablets of the testimony were in his hand. The tablets were written on both sides. On one side and on the other were they written. Now the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there is noise of war in the camp. Because, you know, he was a general. He was all that. Joshua was the man. And he said, is it not the noise of the shout of victory, nor the noise of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear? So it was as soon as he came near the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Then he took the calf which they had made, burned it in fire, ground it to powder, and he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it. And Moses said to Aaron, what did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them? And then, of course, Aaron. Now, wait a minute. The Aaron that said, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters and bring them to me. That Aaron. He says, do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people, that they are set on evil. For they said to me, make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And I said to them, whoever has any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and this calf came out. You didn't have to ask for the gold. You didn't have to do any of that stuff, did you, Aaron? Come on now. And now when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them, to their shame among their enemies, when Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. And he said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side and go in and out from entrance to entrance throughout the camp, and let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. So the sons of Levi did according to the word of the of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. Then Moses said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, that he may bestow on you a blessing this day, for every man has opposed his son and his brother. Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people, you have committed a great sin. So now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin. Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh, these people have committed a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold. Yet now if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written. And the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. Now therefore go lead the people to the place of which I have spoken to you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit punishment upon them for their sins. So the Lord plagued the people because of what they did with the calf which Aaron made. Whew. I told y'all it was a great word. And as we go into the life lesson for chapter 32, it says, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self. Powerful prayer finds its support in the promises of God. When we base our prayers on what God has pledged himself to do, we stand on unshakable ground. Lord, you said you never would leave me or forsake me. I'm standing on your word. We got to learn how to pray. And as we go, it says in Exodus 32 and 34, I will visit punishment upon them for their sins. He's like, Moses, I'm not letting you take the blame for all of that. They go now. Each individual has to take responsibility for themselves. And it says, God forgives sin and wickedness when we repent and come to him in faith. But he does not always prevent us from experiencing the consequences of our wicked behavior. God don't play. Don't play with God, because he sure is not going to play with you. You know, he's not going to play with me. He's not going to play with any of us. For God is a jealous God. He's already told us who he was. And he don't play. In Exodus chapter 33, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it. And I will send my angels before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Havites and the Jebusites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. And when the people heard this bad news, they mourned. And no one put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I could come up into your midst in one moment and consume you. Now, therefore, take off your ornaments, that I may know that what to do to you. So the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by Mount Horeb. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle that all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle and the Lord with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose and worshiped each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, Show me now your way that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people. Excuse me. And he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Ooh, hallelujah. A word, a highlightable. And he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Thank you, God. His presence goes with us wherever we go. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For now, how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. He knows my name. And he said, please show me your glory. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face. For no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cliff of the rock, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Hallelujah. Chapter 34. And we'll do the life lessons if time permits. But this word is so important. And the Lord said to Moses, cut two tablets of stone like the first one, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. So be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with you, and let no man be seen throughout all the mountains. Let neither flocks nor herds feed before that mountain. So he cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. Then Moses rose early in the morning and went up Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. And he took in his hand the two tablets of stone. Now the Lord descended in the clouds and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquities and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generations. So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Then he said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and make us as your inheritance. And he said, behold, I make a covenant before all your people. I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among whom you are shall see the work of the Lord, for it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. Observe what I command you this day. Behold, I am driving out from before you the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Havites and the Jebusites. Take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you are going, lest it be a snare in your midst. But you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and cut down their wooden images. For you shall worship no other God. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they play the harlot with their gods, and make sacrifices to their gods, and one of them invites you, and you eat of his sacrifice, and you take of his daughters for your sons, and his daughters play the harlot with their gods, and make your sons play the harlot with their gods. You shall make no molded gods for yourselves. The feast of unleavened bread you shall keep. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, as I commanded you in the appointed time of the month of Abib. For in the month of Abib you came out from Egypt. All that open the womb are mine, and every male firstborn among your livestock, whether ox or sheep. But the firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem him, then you shall break his neck. All the firstborn of your sons you shall redeem, and none shall appear before me empty-handed. 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. In plowing time and harvest you shall rest. And you shall observe the feast of weeks, of the first fruit of wheat harvest, and the feast of intergathering at the year's end. 3 times in the year all your men shall appear before the Lord God of Israel, for I will cast out the nations before you and enlarge your borders. Neither will any man covet your land when you go up to appear before the Lord your God 3 times in the year. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven, nor shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left until morning. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring to the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. Then the Lord said to Moses, hallelujah. The Lord said to Moses, not me, not you, but the Lord said, you shall worship no other God. Again, let's go back to the word again. And he said, we got to give first fruits to God. And it says, then the Lord said to Moses, write these words for according to the tenor of the words. Tenor of the words. I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Wow. He wrote. So he was the Lord. Write these words according to the tenor of these words. I am made to the covenant with you and with Israel. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him. And Moses talked with them. Afterwards, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel. Whatever he had been commanded, and whatever the children of Israel saw, the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put on the veil on his face again until he went to speak with him. Whew, what a word. Exodus chapter 35. Then Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together. Moses is not playing. He's like trying to do what he is called to do. And that's what we must do, what we are called to do. God loves us. God loves us. And he says, when he gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said to them, these are the words which the Lord has commanded you to do. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day shall be a holy day to you, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire throughout your dwelling on the Sabbath day. And Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord, gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair, ram skin, dyed red, badger skin, and acacia wood, oil for the light and spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, onyx stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. All who are gifted artisans among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded. The tabernacle, its tent, its covering, its clasps, its boards, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, the ark and its poles with the mercy seat, and the veil of the covering, the table and its poles, all the utensils, and the showbread, also the lampstand for the light of its utensils, its lamps, and the oil for the light, the incense altar, its poles, the anointing oil, the sweet incense, and the screen for the door, and the entrance of that tabernacle, the altar of burnt offerings with its bronze grating, its bowls, all its utensils, and the lever, and its base, the hangings of the court, its pillars, their sockets, and the springs for the gate of the court, the pegs of the tabernacle, the pegs of the court and the cords, the garments of ministry for ministering in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister as priests. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord's offerings for the work of the tabernacle meeting, for all its service, and for the holy garments. They came, both men and women, as many as had a willing heart, earrings and nose rings and rings and necklaces, all jewelry of gold, that is, every man who made an offering of gold to the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, goat's hair, and red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. Everyone who offered an offering of silver or bronze brought the Lord's offering. And everyone with whom was found acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. All the women who were gifted artisans spun yarn with their hands and brought what they had spun of blue, purple, and scarlet, and fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred with the wisdom spun yarn of goat's hair. The rulers brought onyx stones and the stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and in spices and oils for the light, for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a freewill offering to the Lord, all the men and women whose hearts were willing to bring material for all kinds of work, which the Lord by the hand of Moses had commanded to be done. And Moses said to the children of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and understanding, in knowledge and all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for the setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of artistic workmanship. And he has put in his heart the ability to teach of him Aholiab, the son of Ichamash, of the tribe of Dan. He has filled them with skill to do all manner of work of the engraver and of the designer and the tapestry maker in blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine linen and of the weaver, those who do every work and those who design artistic works. What an awesome word this morning. 36 of Exodus. And Bezalel and Aholiab, of every gifted artisan whom the Lord had put wisdom and understanding to know how to do all manner of work, For the service of the sanctuary shall be according to all that the Lord has commanded. And Moses called by Ziel and Aholiab, and every gifted artisan in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, everyone whose heart was stirred, to come to do the work. And they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. So they continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work he was doing. And they spoke to Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do. So Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offerings of the sanctuary. And the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done, indeed too much. Then all the gifted artisans among them who worked on the tabernacle made 10 curtains woven of fine linen, of blue, purple, and scarlet thread. With artistic designs of cherubims they made them. The length of each curtain was 28 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits. The curtains were all the same size, and he coupled 5 curtains to one another, and another 5 curtains he coupled to one another. He made loops of blue yarn on the edge of the curtain, on the selvage of one set. Likewise he did on the outer edge of the other curtain of the second set. 50 loops he made on one curtain, and 50 loops he made on the edge of the curtain on the other second set, and loops held on curtain to another. And he made 50 clasps of gold and coupled the curtains to one another with the clasps that it made to be on the one tabernacle. He made curtains of goat's hair for the tent over the tabernacle. He made 11 curtains. He made 50 loops on the edge of the curtains that the outermost in one set, and 50 loops he made on the edge of the curtain on the second set. He also made 50 bronze clasps to couple the tent together, that it might be one. Then he made a covering for the tent of ram skin and dyed red, and a covering of badger skins above that. For the tabernacle, he made boards of acacia wood and standing upright. The length of cord of each board was 10 cubits, and the width of each board a cubic and a half. Each board had 2 tenons for binding one another. Thus he made for all the boards and tabernacle. And he made boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards for the south side. 40 sockets of silver he made to go under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under each of the boards for his own 2 tenons. And for the one other side of the tabernacle, the north side, he made 20 boards, and there's 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under each of the boards. For the west side of the tabernacle, he made 6 boards. He also made 2 boards for the 2 back corners of the tabernacle, and they were coupled at the bottom and coupled together at the top by one ring. Thus he made both of them for the 2 corners. So there were 8 boards in their sockets, 16 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under each of the boards. And he made bars of acacia wood, 5 for the boards on one side of the tabernacle, 5 bars for the boards on the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the tabernacle on the far side westward. And he made the middle bar to pass through the boards from one end of the other. He overlaid the boards with gold, made their rings of gold to be holders for the bars, and overlaid the bars with gold. And he made a veil of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen. It was worked with an artistic design of cherubim. He made for it 4 pillars of acacia wood, and overlaid them with gold and with the hooks of gold. And he cast 4 sockets of silver for them. He also made a screen for the tabernacle door of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine woven linen made by a weaver, and its 5 pillars with their hooks, and he overlaid their capitals and their rings with gold, but their 5 sockets were bronze. And everything that God instructed Moses to do, he did it. And whatever God instructs us to do, we must do it also. And I love the life lesson for this, and it says this when we go back to chapter 33. It says, I have found grace in your sight. Show me how your ways, that I may know you. As children of God, we have received the Lord's unmerited and unending favor. But as we get to know him better through such things as prayer, fasting, and study of his word, he extends us even more favor. Nothing comforts and empowers us more than knowing that God's promises to grant our requests and that he knows each of us personally and by name. And I love our title word for this morning. It's this: you shall worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. God made us for a relationship with himself, and he will never stand idly while a rival tries to replace him in our hearts. Giving our hearts to anyone else arouses his jealousy, a dangerous proposition. And that's just something to keep in your heart today as we get ready to wrap up with a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And I thank you for your prayers. She is safely at her destination. And the word of God is this from Sister Carolyn. Good morning. God will give you strength for every battle, wisdom for every decision, and peace that surpasses all understanding. Have a favorable Friday. And another scripture from today's lesson is this in Exodus 34:9. Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquities. Only by grace has anyone ever been able to establish, develop, and enjoy an intimate relationship with the God of glory. Moses and his people could not earn God's favor, and we cannot either. All of our efforts will always fall short. Thankfully, we don't have to work for God's acceptance. He gives us his love freely. What a word this morning. It has been a word, and all I can say is thank you, Lord, for allowing us to read your word, because you are great and greatly to be praised. And our prayer for this morning on this 10th day is this: law of love. Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than any human. Infinite One, I owe everything I am and everything I have to you. I would neither spend my days living in the law of your love than anywhere else. Today, I consecrate myself to you, asking for your wisdom to guide me into all truth. I want to be aligned with you and your ways. Lord, keep me on the narrow path that chooses love above all other things, above my comfort, preferences, and other expectations. Your ways are better than my own and better than what others require as well. May I stay true to you and your words as I walk this path with you. Today, let my choices reflect your ways rather than my own. Help me stay fixed on you, the author and perfecter of my faith. When I begin to default to my own basis, Holy Spirit, would you remind me of the wisdom of your word and ways. I yield my heart and my choices to you today. And the word that God has in this prayer for this morning is this: what does it mean for you to obey God today? Let us not be like the children of Israel, stiff-necked and hard-headed. Let us trust in the Lord that all is well and will be good with us. Thank you so much, family, for listening in this morning. It has been a magnificent word, and all we can say is thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And as we pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. And remember that our God is a jealous God, and you should have no other God before him. You shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. But he loves us, and he covers us with his grace. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap.